Blog Talk Radio.
The hits just keep on coming.
Let's start the show. You know what time it is.
What up? It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad of radio.
The Powerhouse Squad is in the house. With Tone Robbins.
Live and direct, man.
Koopy Afuera.
Video. I am Hills Koopy Foodie.
And Brother Al.
Hey, what's up?
You know, it's not just the wisdom, it's the basis of understanding of the subject. The newest member to the Powerhouse Squad.
Sophia Alexandria.
Yeah. It's once again, it's in the house. We are live in effect and direct right to you. You know who it is. It's the Powerhouse Squad. We're getting ready to get started up. So guess what? You know, everybody's getting late in the building. Hey, it's cold out on some weather. Some places are getting hot. Some places are just getting chilly. It's getting weird outside. I'm telling you. So you know what's going on. We keep it going for you right now. But we just want to keep it up for you and just get right into the little bit of a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But we got a special show for you today. And but before we get into that part, you know what we do. It's that time again. All right, get with it. Get hot with it. Powerhouse Squad, signed up. Sister Sophia, are you in the house?
Hey, everybody. I am in the house. How are you all doing?
All right. Now, Brother Kobe and Brother Tone are running a little bit late today. So, you know, it's that Thursday drag that's been going on for this month, isn't it? You know, but we run a little bit behind on certain things, but, you know, we catch it in there. But anyways, you know what he say? He says plenty is friendly and enough is enough. But, you know, that's cool what I say. So with that being going on, we just want to be able to come up to you and let you know it's that time again to get it on and get the – it's time for the news.
Live on NFL Radio Studios in Sanford, Maine, doing local and national and international news, keeping you updated to the current events. It's NSL Radio News. Your host, Brother Alfred of the Powerhouse Squad. So, let's get into it and let's get ready to stay informed.
All right. Everybody, it's that time again. We are live and affecting definitely direct. Coming into you to let you know what's going on. Now, here's what's going on, New. All right, Black Buffalo police officer fired for trying to stop a chokeholding incident. Some of you may have heard about this. In 2008, officer, who was Carol Horn, she was in a routine traffic stop. Her partner took it upon themselves to choke out a black driver, and she saw that it was wrong in the way she was doing. And because she tried to stop something from happening before the George Floyd incident happened, she was fired, stripped of her command, and told that, you know, she would not get her benefits or nothing, no pension, no nothing. But now this is over 20 years ago. But in 2020, CNN, Brian Keller, along with Don Lemon on Wednesday CNN News, they came up and followed the story up on this. And when they came up and followed the story and came up to this, and this is crazy, because of the press and seeing what's going on after the 2020 situation and what's been going on, George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and people being hurt and killed by the police department, that, you know, these things have occurred. And the police department in Buffalo said, you know what? We're not touching this with a 20-foot pole. So they reinstated her benefits, her pension, and everything else, as well as her back pay, and they gave it to her. Ms. Horn was delighted to receive her just desserts, which she deserved from the start, as well as a Fair Treatment Act. See, what's going on in the police department that we've seen in a constant issue is that, you know, there's people that bring in their own personal emotions to the job. You're not there to bring your own personal emotions to the job. You're there to serve the people. and to be a servant. You know, and I use that word term very lightly,
right.
because what I mean is that, you know, I'm going to say it like this. Black people know how to, we've been servants for a long time. But but when it comes to the other people, I quote unquote, they really don't have two wipes idea really what it means to be a servant. They've been in that word master so long that they, that if you try servants, like looking at like Ice Cube when you confused him with his one eyebrow, like huh? So you know it's that kind of response. And I the training aspect, it has to be changed, and they say they're working on it. But you also watch how they do the training. There's, you know, yes, you only have 1 second between you, yourself, and life or death. You know what I'm saying? So those kind of things will occur. Those things will happen as well. Okay, also in news, we're going on like with the latest news and be finding out what's been going on. Joe Biden is saying by 9/11, we will be having the withdrawal from Afghanistan. He's saying that it's time. Our boys, our families need to come home. We need to stop this ridiculousness. We have won this war, but it's too much devastation trying to maintain it. We've trained the people there to take care of the issue. Does not mean we have to monitor it. The Republican Party is making the claim that if they keep this up, then what's going to happen is eventually we're going to be, we're eventually going to be starting another jihad or another issue. Taliban's going to be regrouping and trying to come back in. Nah, I disagree with that. I can't seriously see that one bit. Because it's a constant thing on, you know, where war is not solving anything. It's just bringing more deaths. That's all how you got to see about it. Also, in Minnesota, right in the same location, Nationwide News has come up with this. And this is straight from blacknews.com. So everybody go check it out. If you're black or white, you know what's up. You're out of sight. But go and check this out. Go to blacknews.com to get your latest news from your people, from your source. All right. 20-year-old Donald Wright, by a police officer in Minnesota, allegedly accused of discharging officer, claims that, you know, she mistakenly grabbed her taser, said Brooklyn Center Police Chief Tim Grennan, and he made a statement that she claimed that she was trying to reach for a taser. She grabbed the taser and fired it, but she ended up grabbing her gun instead. This young man has now opposed a movement in Minnesota as well as around the Brooklyn Bank area, and where now there is now a curfew, a statewide curfew in Minnesota, that everybody has to be in the house. So everybody in Minnesota, we want to tell you that we care about you, we think about you, we appreciate you and out there, but please be careful. Yes, you have a right to protest. You have a right to make yourself known, and you might even put your opinion. But be careful of who's around you, who's surrounding you. Be careful. Keep yourself socially distanced. Please wear a mask when you're out there, and so on and so forth. Protesters and activists have been speaking constant remarks and out to the press. The press from CNN, ABC, Fox News, and so on and so forth have been making comments as well as keeping updates on this subject. Now, this situation of the so-called shooting, but what goes along, they say one of the reasons they pulled him over because he had a warrant for his arrest. And because he had that warrant and arrest, he drove off. He was scared. He did not want to. He was a young teen. He did not know how to respond. He's agitated. You know what I'm saying? Nobody really wants to go to jail. You know what I'm saying? You can't just, you know, think, okay, I'm going to go quietly, or I'm going to do it. You know, you can't be quiet in your opinion. You can't do this thing. you can, you know, make yourself known, and you can, you know, you can't just follow instructions, but you got to know your rights. The 99% of the United States people in the United States have not even read the Constitution from cover to cover. Okay, they do not know the Declaration of Independence. These are the things that, as black people, this should be in our elementary school. If you're going to live in the United States or you're going to live in a certain state, you should, there's things that you should be knowing on a constant day. Okay? So you should be knowing your Constitution for your state. And you should be knowing your Declaration of Independence in your state, as well as your federal Constitution and Declaration of Independence. If you're going out there in this world, especially as black people, we are minority people, you should be knowing these things. We do not have white privilege like that. We can't just go out and say, I don't like you. No, you can't do that. You have to be constantly keeping these things up going on across the bases. All right. Also in news, one last coming in. Since DMX, our dear brother, has passed away at the age of 50, and we want to give our shout-out to DMX's family, all the Rough Riders out there. So I'm telling you, on behalf of Powerhouse Squad, we miss you, we love you, we support you, and we're here for you. If you need us, give us a call. You know the number, 516-418-5805. Give us a call if you have any questions or anything we can do to help you along, because, you know, we're here for you, family. Due to that situation, there's been some expectations saying that DMX's rights as well as publishing rights has been gone. So his estates are and held up in limbo due to circumstances, you know, beyond their control. And they're trying to find it. There is a GoFundMe account. But see, everybody knew they should have known this already, because when DMX fell off, there was reports and there was pictures of DMX working at a restaurant, okay? This is DMX, okay? He was sitting there working in a restaurant. Why someone that famous is sitting there working in a restaurant? Huh? Okay, that don't make any sense. All right. It's 1:12 p.m. here at East Coast time. We're ready to go into the show. Sister Sophia, what do we got going on?
Oh, my gosh. We have a truly amazing person today. I'm really excited to bring her on. And before I say who she is, I mentioned her last week, but she's a very humble person. And so I had the opportunity to meet her last year, and she's given me some nuggets that I use in my life that actually helped me get that much closer to my goals. So I really appreciate Lexi Johnson, known as Miss Worldwide.
Ooh,
okay,
she hey, you know who it is. Come on. Lexi Johnson's in the house.
Yes.
Give it up.
So she is in. Yes.
Welcome to the show, Sister Lexi. How you doing?
I am doing absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much for that introduction. And thank you all for inviting me on your platform. This is exciting.
Yes. And I didn't get to finish introducing you, Lexi. So let me finish. I'm just going to keep it short real quick. But Lexi Johnson is an international speaker, a licensed financial coach, entrepreneur, and the co-founder of the Global Smart TV channel that was just recently launched. Lexi TV. Now, we need some applause for that. That is amazing. International speaker, licensed coach, entrepreneur, and Smart TV channel owner Lexi Johnson is in the house. How are you today?
I am well. Happy to be here on the show with you all.
Awesome. So let's get straight to it. So you talk about this money mindset. Do you mind sharing with us how you became so money focused, or, you know, how did you arrive at that point where you was like, we need to have this money mindset?
Absolutely. Well, you know, in 2008, I'll give you guys a short version, But in 2008, I lost everything, right? So my initially, it started with my ex-husband. He lost his job. He was laid off from his job, and he thought, okay, we'll be all right, because I was still working, and I was actually making really great money at the time, so had enough to, you know, support all the bills and everything until he was able to find a job. Well, 2 months later, then I was then I lost my job because there was a acquisition that took place. They brought in their own directorship and management, and I was in management. And then now we're both unemployed, looking for work, but then all of the bills began to pile up. We were younger. We had not been saving money, you know. As young people, sometimes we do. We just live for the day, doing what we want to do. People try to guide us to save, and you don't listen. And so when we hit those times of trouble, I mean, they really, really hit. So in addition to losing our jobs, and we were already having issues in our marriage, and so, you know, I'm sure people listening out there, you know, this is not new news. Finances is really one of the top, in the top two, depending, it could be number one, depending on which set of statistics you're looking at, you know, is the cause of a lot of marriages. And so it was actually the straw that broke the camel's back on our marriage, so I ended up getting divorced. Well, we filed bankruptcy before divorce, and then we ended up getting divorced. So lost our home, our cars, everything. And after the divorce, I found myself, me and my three small children, okay, now I'm a mom who's been thrust into single motherhood, trying to figure out how to support these three small children, not working, where are we going to live, all of these things. So fast forward a little bit. I, after doing some, you know, temp jobs here and there, I finally was able to get my own place again. And during that time, I was still going through, you know, a lot of financial devastation. Now, at this time, I had about $300,000 worth of debt, okay? So we're talking about school loans. We're talking about, you know, money that was owed on the cars, on the house, all of these things from the marriage, and a lot of things happened to be in my name. So I was still under a whole lot of pressure, under a whole lot of weight, and going through some depression at the time. And so one night I just found myself, you know, well, every night I was going to bed crying myself to sleep, you know, having this whole pity party about the situation I was in. I couldn't understand why I was in that situation, because I had done the things that everybody told me to do, right? I had went after the American dream. I went to college, you know, got my degree, found a paying job, you know, got married, children, the house, the white picket fence, and in your pet, you know, had all that. And well, I didn't have a daughter cat because I was allergic, so we had fish. That was our pet. And so, you know, I thought that I had done everything that people asked me to do. This is what we are trained to do. This is what we're conditioned to do. And so I could not understand how I ended up in that kind of situation. Looking back on it, there were a lot of contributing factors, obviously a lot of decisions that I made that did not suit me financially. And then what was going on at the time in the economy in 2008. And so all of those things came together and caused me some turmoil between the years of 2008-2011. Long story short, when I got back from Murphy, got a new job and a new permanent job, I was introduced to my mentors in the financial services space who taught me everything I know. Of course, I studied more and I know more beyond that, but they taught me everything I knew to get myself out of $300,000 worth of debt and back on track to creating wealth for me and my family. So that is what landed me in the financial services business. If you would have asked me, you know, when I was growing up or even as a young adult, If that's where I would be, I would laugh because I was like, I hate numbers. In fact, I told my major in college, based on the fact that I would not have to take a bunch of math classes. So,
yeah.
So that's what brought me here.
That's an amazing story. I mean, you said a lot in just what you said, because what stood out for me is the point that, yes, you went through something in your life, but look where you are now. And a lot of people are going through the same thing, and some people can't even imagine that, yes, people are losing their jobs. They're okay when they have the jobs, but the time they lose their jobs, then they have to come to reality, like, hey, this is not working out. My finances are not in order. You know, I'm struggling and all of that. So I want to ask you another question. So let's talk about singles, people that are not married right now. What is something that you can say to these people in handling their finances? We have a whole bunch. I have a whole bunch of questions I want to ask you, because we're talking about money, and money is needed anywhere you go. If you want to live comfortably, you want to do what you want to do, there's some money involved. So this is a very important conversation. So single people that are graduating high school, that are in college, not yet married, however, what is something that you can tell us or tell the people?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of my favorite books says money answers all things. It also says money is a defense. And so, it you know, in speaking to young people, one of the things that I often say to them and that I encourage them to do is to, number one, you know, to pay attention. Don't feel like you have time, because that's the way we are when we're young. We think we have time, you know, before you know it,
Right.
So you think you have time. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I encourage young people, I'm like, start preparing for your financial future now. Get yourself together, you know, to take care of yourself in the present, but also in the future, because believe me, your future self will thank you for your decision to take care of your future you. Like for me, if I go back and kick my young self in the behind, I would do that. I would do that. But no, for young people, please become financially savvy, become financially literate. You don't have to know like all the things that I may know because of having to go through licensing and trainings and things like that. But become financially savvy. Begin to think about not just today, you know, but tomorrow as well, which not only includes your future you, but also includes the generations coming after you. And the thing is, if you focus on it while you're young, while you're in your 20s, because I have a daughter who's 26, I'm telling her, if you keep doing what I've taught you, you will be able to retire in your late 40s or 50s and just do whatever the heck you want to do when you get that age and you're still young enough to enjoy all. So
that's really important, because, you know, we're not learning that, you know, when we, you know, as a lot of us aren't learning that in our families and households. Our parents are not teaching us that. They're not saying, hey, this is what you should do. This is how to handle money. You know, this is what you should set up. This is what you should invest in, or anything like that. So tell me your belief on teaching the children. At what age should we start teaching our children about finances? And is it really important that we do that? Or, you know, what is your whole take on it?
It's extremely important that we begin teaching our children about finances from birth. And that's going to sound crazy.
Wow.
But is that we whether we realize it or not, we are teaching our children lots of things from birth. That's how they're conditioned. That's how we've been conditioned, come up and just, you know, believe and think, oh, you know, society says I've got a, you know, retirement is at 65, so I'm just going to accept the fact that I'm working till 65 and that there isn't any other alternative, right? So begin teaching your children from birth. My youngest child is 5. We got 6 children, and they all over the board. We have 4 of them.
I know what that's like.
And we have 2 that is in the house, but my youngest daughter, with both of them, they are part of our budget meetings. When my husband and I sit down to do our budgets on a monthly basis, they are part of those meetings. In fact, the other day, my daughter came to me and she said, "Mom, I want to go to Disney. I know that I need to bring that up in our next budget meeting." I said, "Yep."
Okay.
Right? So children can understand. I think we sometimes think that maybe they're not able to understand. They can understand almost anything most things, you know, that we throw on them. As long as we do it on their
own,
understand it. So my advice, please begin to talk to your children about money from the time they're born. Begin to, you know, use teachable moments. You know, when I'm in the store with my daughter, teaching her how to make decisions on purchases, whether they're big or whether they're small. So that's.
I love that because that's not happening in a lot of households. I can tell you it definitely did not happen in my growing up for me. My dad was the sole provider. He may have said, "Oh, yeah, I spent a lot of money on you." Yeah, he did, because he had 7 kids. His wife was not working. He told her she can sit down and relax. So she wasn't working early on, probably when I was in the 6th grade. So that's more than, 25 years. And so we're not learning these things. And I think it's very important. And I watched a video actually on, I don't know where it was, YouTube or something, or TikTok. And it was a 1-year-old that could walk. He probably was 1.5, closer to 2. But he, I don't know if you saw it, but he fixed his own cereal. He grabbed the stool, grabbed the cereal, went in the refrigerator, used the stools or whatever he needed to grab the milk. Not only did he do that, he ate it, went to wash his bowl, got to the sink, washed it, put it in the dishwasher, and, you know, just prepared everything himself. So I believe what you're saying. Sometimes as parents, we think, oh, they're not ready yet. You know, they're
the only question I got for that one. Ooh. I got one question. Does that little boy have a class for so my 7-year-old can take the class? Is he 1995? I need a class. I don't know about you all, but my 13-year-old needs that class.
I know, right? Exactly. Same for my 2-year-old.
Boy. What?
So much.
I want this video. Can I pre-order it?
Yeah.
I'm in DVD.
That little boy telling the story reminds me so much of my youngest daughter. She is the exact same way. In fact, I have pictures. I posted one on Facebook where she was like 1, where she took a stool, got up on the counter to get to the top of the fridge so she can get a banana to eat, peeled her own banana, you know, and did her thing. It's like that to this day. I don't know. I think it's just something it's in some people, you know, that they just have this thing, well, if you're not going to get it for me, I'll go get it myself. And
that's me.
You know, that's a good attitude to have. That serves you well. It may serve them well in the future, right? But, you know, Sophia, as you were saying, you know, in my family, money wasn't talked about much either, and for two reasons. One, we can't talk about what we don't know about.
Right.
The other thing is that in our culture, you don't talk about money. Even if you do know a little bit about what you're doing, you just don't talk about money. It's like I was talking, you don't ask people about what they make. You don't ask people, you know what I'm saying? You just don't ask people about their money. And the crazy thing is, you know, you know, we look at wealthy people and, you know, I say, well, only certain people can do that or whatever we say about, you know, rich people. Or I'm like, no, the reason why they do what they have what they have and then their children come up and, you know, go out and do the same thing is because they are having these conversations every day. They raise their hands, say, I need to learn about this. Let me get knowledge about this. Who can I go to help me and teach me? And then they have conversations about this every day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to get to that place where we're saying, okay, all right, as parents, I don't know, okay? So I can't teach my children what I don't know, but let me go and get the information that I need so that I can teach my children.
Yes.
Oh,
I love
wow.
that. That's beautiful because that right there will just change lives forever, like, period. Because if we
mm-hmm.
start implementing that today with our households, with our family, no matter what age, and we need to stop that because, you know what, I've heard you say this before, and, you know, this is such valuable information because I've been the type, oh, don't show, because I was very sheltered as a female growing up in my family, so... Well, it wasn't about as much as shelter from something, you know, the boys and all of that stuff and that world. So I was very sheltered. But I think things that happen naturally, we should discuss those things naturally and become comfortable with it. And money is one of those things. And so if we continue to hide that from our children and say, hey, they don't understand, they won't understand, guess what? We don't give them the opportunity to understand in that moment. Just like I watched that video is very powerful. I showed it to my two girls. They're 10 and 7 because sometimes I'm like, okay, you got chores to do. Why are you taking all night? You know, why you act like this is hard work? You know, like your life is about to end because you need to wash the dish and put up your plate, put it in the trash. I showed them that video, and I'm like, if a one-year-old can do this, you 10. You're 7. You can do this. So we need to take that, you know, that blocking mindset or that hindering mindset that we have and saying our children won't understand. Yes, they won't understand because you don't give them the opportunity to understand. But once we present this, then that makes their world a lot better and they'll begin to make smarter choices. They won't make the same mistakes that we made. They can handle things a lot better. They're more mature. You know, we don't have to worry, you know, be up all night. You know, I hear about people, oh, wait till they get teenagers and stuff. I'm worried. I can't sleep. I'm praying. You know, all of this stuff. But if you teach your child and you train them, then trust that what you did is going to work, you know. Not saying that they won't make mistakes, but hey, so I love that story. And I have more questions for you. I even want to talk about once you do get into that relationship, how should you handle money then?
Wow.
Yeah. Really quickly, I just want to say on the previous thing as you were saying, and then I'll address your next question. The other reason why we want to make it natural to conversation is because even if our children grow up and they make mistakes, they know that they can come and talk to us and get some advice on how to get back on their feet. When I went through what I went through, I, first of all, did not want to share with anybody because, again, what played in my mind, we don't talk about it. We don't talk about money. Two, I was feeling so ashamed and so alone. Who knew that there were many other people, many, many other people who had gone through the same thing or were going through the same thing, and I could have reached out, you know, and talked to other people or just and talked to people that I could get help from. But I just would not open my mouth. I was ashamed. I was, you know, I'm the oldest child. You know, I should have made better decisions. You know, all of those things. And because it was not natural conversation, I carried all of that for a long time. So it's important that we have these conversations on a daily basis, make it natural. So it's natural for our children to talk about it, whether they're doing good
yes.
or they're doing good with money. So back to your question about when you're in relationship with someone, now I think it depends on the level of relationship. I'll share with you my husband and I. So when we were dating, you know, we our monies were separate, obviously, because we were dating. and that's the way we were. We're like, you ain't mixing nothing. So there's some type of there's a commitment. But we did have conversations on what our beliefs were in terms of money, what was our attitude towards money, what was our experiences with money. We share as we begin to talk about, you know, hey, we think we want to spend life with each other. Then, you know, it was, okay, what's on your credit report? What's on yours? And it wasn't like an indictment or a judgment. It's just what are we getting, you know, what are we getting into so we can make plans to handle whatever we need to handle, positive or negative, right? So we began to have conversations about money. Even while we were dating, and those conversations were different levels. So again, initially when we were dating, they were serious conversations, but not about like combining funds or nothing like that. It's more about, hey, what's your attitude towards money? What do you believe about money? How do you handle money? You know, what do you, you know? So having those conversations are very, very important in my first marriage. We didn't have that conversation at all. We didn't have that conversation at all. And it caused a lot of turmoil. And so you have those conversations, and again, it's not to say like, oh, you know, well, I can't. You handle money differently than I do, so we can't get married. It's not that. It's just that I'm aware now. How are we going to be able to, you know, merge two different, you know, ways that we see or think about how do we make it work, right? Or if you find out you're similar, you know, then that's great. For my husband and I, we had kind of similar beliefs in terms of money. He could actually understand me a whole lot better than my previous husband because, we're both entrepreneurs. You don't both have to be entrepreneurs to understand the entrepreneur mindset, but we both have to be entrepreneurs, and we had very similar beliefs and attitudes and things about money. We both understood, hey, money is just a tool. It's not, you know, the be-all, end-all. We use it for what we use it for. And so that those conversations are important. As I mentioned, as we decided, hey, we're going to do life together, then, you know, it's like, okay, let's see what's on each other's credit reports, how we're going to, you know, do things. We talked about, like, how are we going to handle the finances, things like that. So my husband, he is very, you know, he's traditional in the sense that, hey, the man works and covers every, you know, he takes care of all the bills. He takes care of all the needs. And that day that I couldn't work, he don't care if I'm working, but he takes care of everything else, and I can do whatever the heck I want to do with my money.
Hey!
You just been schooled by the men.
It is. It's cool.
So there are men out there.
There are men out there who still desire to do that. Now, listen, the other thing is we have to understand that there are men who may desire to do it, but some, depending upon, you know, what they make, their salary, things like that, they may not be able to do it yet. So we have to understand that, Lee.
Right.
You know, plan for where you are and how you want to, you know, get to where you want to get to. But the last thing I want to say on that is that though my husband is taking care of all of the bills and, you know, anything we need, we ask for whatever, he shows it right on out. It's no issue. But what I do then is allow his money to take care of everything present, and then my money takes care of everything future. You know, investments for, you know, our own wealth building, for college planning for the two younger ones, for, you know, legacy for all of the children. You know, there's property and land and things that we want to buy and things like that. So my money, and I bet his doesn't either, but my money specifically, a lot of it takes care of our future.
Wow. I love that. You know, that's teamwork for you. Because, you know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, really briefly, I'm like, yeah, because I could take my money and go shop, right, and just go blow it off. But no, you know what I'm saying? I'm just as responsible for the legacy of this family as he is.
Mm-hmm. I love that because, you know, I think that's also missing in a lot of relationships, too. We don't have that together team mindset. A lot of times it's like, oh, this is what you did? Okay, this is what I'm going to do, you know, then, since you did that. Or, you know, it's kind of like, I believe that people in relationships, we should have that mindset. It's very important because if we do not have that mindset, that's when a lot of other problems present. You know, like we open the door for other things to happen. But if we're together, like you said, pull out that credit statement or credit report, talk about it. And a lot of people are so uncomfortable, just as you mentioned earlier, that, yeah, we weren't taught to talk about that or ask how many people, but I know other people outside of the Black community that have no problem asking you, oh, what you make? What's your credit score? They like really like, I'm like, oh, wow. Because, you know, we weren't taught to talk about, oh, don't ask anybody how much they make. Don't ask them about this. Don't ask them about that. You don't talk about this. And that's for you to know. And so if we have, and the person who asks, who I'm talking about specifically is wealthy. And so it's comfortable for them because money is comfortable, just like you're talking about today. We have to make it a point in our life where it becomes comfortable. We have to teach our children. And we have to be okay. If we're planning on spending the rest of our lives with somebody, just as you mentioned, we have to talk about these things and become comfortable and figure out a game plan. It's not about judging, like you said. It's not about saying, oh, wow, you know what? I'm just going to call this relationship. You know, because every team has a plan. You know, you may not have the Chicago Bulls majority, that team, that lineup, but you can practice, you can put in the work to get there. So I think that's the message that we need to get out, just as you're getting out. It's not about, you may have this startup like, oh, shoot, my credit is 805 right now. You know, I don't have no debt. You know, I'm good. You know, now what you working with, let's figure out a game plan. Let's figure out how we're going to make this work. What is the ultimate goal that we're trying to achieve? And let's figure out how we're going to get it. So I love what you're talking about. Oh, go ahead. Because I want to just ramble on because I love the subject.
It's dating in the 2000s is what I call it. Appreciate it, brother Alfred. It's dating in the 2000s, as I call it. You know, coming out of a relationship myself, going into a relationship. I mean, those are specific questions that I asked. I was like, "Hey, what's your credit score like? Hey, you know, how bad is your credit? You know, and I asked how bad is the credit, because I mean ultimately here's where we are at the end of the day. When you're meeting a person, you're meeting them at their level, and no one should present themselves to be better than the next. Well, obviously the person that you're becoming involved with. So the way I approached it was I'm looking at the obvious. You know, my significant other is a teacher. So understandably, they have a lot of debt because them, you know, trying to pursue multiple degrees to move up, you know, within the teaching career and also to increase their pay compensation. So that was an obvious for me, wanted to know, you know, what was the debt to net income ratio. And approaching it like a business, but marriage is an institution, but it's also a business. And some people hate to talk about that, just like church is a business. But that's another subject. So I'm saying this to say, you know, for people,
you're right.
For people, like, yeah, you gotta be realistic in your approach. If you're not realistic in your approach, what's gonna happen down the road is, hey, it's gonna come to a outgrowth situation where a person is pacing themselves and, you know, maybe hitting the metrics that they want to hit as far as the levels of success and achievement in their life, and their significant other can't keep up, or it's a constant problem, and you're always having to bail them out of that problem, which leads to what they say money issues within a relationship. And it could be avoided if you have that conversation, because one thing that you know, I was commended for recently, excuse me, by my significant other. She was saying to me, she was so happy that, you know, I insisted on her paying these bills and getting the credit back up to where it needed to be. And it, and she just saw the success over time where it just made things easier for her, where in the back of her mind, she did not have to stress when it came down to, okay, I'm about to go and make a large purchase. You know, and, you know, I got to worry about if it's going to get approved or if the interest rate is going to be way out of whack or something to that effect, because we know going in, because I will sit next to her, you know, in the decision-making process on a significant purchase. And I'm like the police. I'm going to interrogate the people that we're purchasing from, you know, like, yo, the credit rating is this. So what's going on here with this? I need you to explain why this is this, 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 and this based on what we got going on, because that's the way that our counterparts play ball. So we have to learn how to start to carry ourselves, play ball the way that they play ball. They're not just walking in there and looking at the MSRP, the sticker price, whatever the case may be, and saying, oh, yeah, I'll take it. They're like, hey, is there any retail discounts? Is there any other discounts that you can put on it? Can you tweak those numbers a little better? Look at this, look at this, and this is what we're bringing to the table. How can I put less cash down out of my pocket? And you don't want to be that person that's always constantly having to go in with, you know, an excessive amount of money to make your purchases or put down payments down for things, for large purchases, because you're unwilling to face the music, you know, at home to understand one another. So it's kind of like you're playing roulette when you step out in public to do business.
Huh.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I completely agree with you. And again, it just goes back to, as we've been talking, because we don't have these conversations. And like you say, you know, we go in to make these big purchases, a car or whatever. You know, we're quickly, you know, we want everything now. So, you know, we are automatically thinking we have to finance everything. And then when we go in, we're only thinking about, oh, this is a monthly payment I want to make. But we don't really think about, you know, what does that mean? If I only want to make a monthly payment of, you know, $300, well, you know, what kind of interest does that come with? How long am I paying on this? And really, how much more interest am I paying, you know, rather than doing something else and focusing on what I'm going to be paying out as a whole versus, you know, that versus that monthly payment. So we just like, oh, it's within my monthly, you know, I can pay up, so I'll get it. You know, we don't really think about all the other ramifications. And again, just because that's the way we've been conditioned. You know, we're a society too that's been conditioned to finance everything. Instead of learning how to, you know, take the money that you have and allow it to grow within a certain time frame, you know, because your money can grow within a year, 2 years, 3 years. You put it in the right type of vehicle. And then, you know, be patient and get what you need, you know. My husband, he's a general contractor in 5 different states, and he is constantly talking about, you know, with the people that he teaches about, you know, how we overpay for homes because we you know, we just want to finance because we want to get in right now. If you're like, if you just save your money, buy the supply, get you someone to build a house, it's going to be way cheaper. You're not going to be paying on a house for 30 years. You're done, you know. So we have to learn how to not be slaves to you know, the way we've been taught in terms of money.
And now, real quick, as you're speaking on the home buyer process, the contracting process, and I kind of got the gist of it, but just to reiterate, so you're essentially saying for some people, because it works for some, but it doesn't work for all. But if you have the ability, you're saying that the best thing to do is just to acquire the land, start, you know, acquiring your materials over time once you've actually done your blueprints, you know, your architectural concepts for the most part, I'm assuming, so that you can have a structural design and know what it's going to cost for materials. And then you just essentially are just paying for cold zoning and labor at the end of the day, as opposed to having to worry about a long-term 30-year plan. Is that is that the best way to do it in regards to home ownership?
Correct, correct. And like I said, yes, that may not work for everybody. You know, some people may don't want to. So if you're going to finance it, just be smart about it. Be very smart about it. Listen, the mortgage industry, the credit card industry, none of them are your friends. They are not your friends at all. They may talk to you.
Right.
You know, they're going to show you all the, you know, whining and dining. You know, when you go and purchase a home, they tell, oh, would you like to add a fireplace? Would you like to do this? You know, and by the time, you know, it's the cost of the fireplace, of course, they're going to, you know, it's going to be marked up, number one. Then they're putting it, you know, throughout the 30-year period of the loan, you'll be paying, you know, way more for that fireplace. So just be smart about you're going to finance. We tend to, oh, what's the longest term, you know, for a car? Let me do 7 years as opposed to, you know, let me pay this thing off. And how do I pay this thing off in 2 years? Well, we don't understand. Going back to the car example, I sat down with someone and I was showing them they had just got a car and I was showing them, listen, the first 3 years is going towards nothing but interest. The first few years of your
payment. Right.
And it shows you very clearly on, you know, it shows very clearly on the website when you go, this is where it's going. Look, to interest. It's paying no principal at all. By the time you finish paying for this car, you will have paid for it 2-3 times.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's
smart.
Yeah.
I have one question for Sister Alexi. Listen, this is, you know, it's been come. A lot of people were doing it in the early 2000s and, you know, in, I guess, late 90s. And some people are still doing it today. What is your view on relationship contracts or marriage contracts? Would you consider something like that for most people to try to – so to have your expectations laid out for you? If you enter into a relationship or you're going to enter a relationship with this person – so they know, is that better? Or would you say that's a little bit too formal, per se?
You know, whatever works for someone, it's a little bit too formal for me. My husband, like I said, we're pretty old school. But, I mean, if both parties mutually agree and they're good with that, you know, then, you know, hey, by all means, you know, or whatever works. Work for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know a lot of times you see these people get into relationships and expectations is like it's not really all set out. You know, some people jump into relationships and then you're stuck with the financial issues that come along with it. The person not knowing, you know, of course when you meet somebody you really don't know them until you get time to know them. Mm-hmm. But if you start something with them. If you got something in front of you saying, well, okay, I expect this up front, you know, but people have a weird time or sometimes weird things like they change on a constant whim. But, you know, but some people that are solid, you know, I feel like if you have something in your front of you saying, okay, this is my credit score. This is what I'm able to do. This is what I'm able. I'm stable here. I need work here. If you can, we can work together on this. If you want to come work with this or that and that, but you know, I just think these kind of things need to be like sort of put out there in front. You know, I always try to tell a person if I'm introducing myself to them or if I'm going to get a relationship with them, I say to them, listen, I don't have this, but I'm working on getting this. If you're around when that happens. And that makes the relationship more significant to me. You know what I'm saying? You're stressing these things out, especially when it comes to finance. You know what I'm saying? In the beginning, every guy would tell you this. You know, he gets the girl on the first couple of dates. He looking good. I mean, he might roll up a couple of $200 and $100 bills on the rest of ones, but. You know, but he's still trying to, you know, he's trying to say, listen, when it comes down to it, you know, if I have it like that, you get it like this. But a lot of these times, you know what I'm saying, the expectations is there. The quote, one person I was listening to, they said there was a statement that, you know, today's woman expects the man to stay traditional, but the woman is allowed to not be traditional. And I tried to figure that out myself, and I'm going, it makes understanding. So that means the finance is there. You know, yes, he's going to take care of the bills. He's going to take care of the finance. He's going to take care of the children. He's going to do all this stuff. He's going to make sure he gives you the good loving at the end of the night when you need it. You know what I'm saying? But these are, you know, obligations that you put in a financial situation. You know, and when you're dealing with the relationship as a combined whole, it's not really set clear, because, you know, it's like putting a ton of bricks on somebody's back that did not ask for the ton of bricks to be put on their back. But at the same time, you're going to have to learn how to handle those bricks. And if you don't know how to handle it, then you might, what you really desire, you'll never achieve. So whether whether the financial issue, you know, comes into play, whether it's investing or putting into a 401k or something like that, these prospects that you look at to try to adjust to become what they call quote unquote normal in today's society for a man or even a female, because women have a lot more weight than people really don't understand that they have to take on. And I see it's a constant thing. And, you know, me being a child that was raised by a single mother, okay, I see my mother, you know, she tried to – I thought we were rich, honestly. I thought we were rich. Come to find out, we were dirt poor. I mean, you ain't supposed to sit on, I'm like, you know, don't sit on the blue couch and don't touch the china closet. But you know, it looked pretty in the outside, but you look at that finance and that book, you look at what she been doing to make sure to keep the power lights on and A, B, and C, and you know, it's a lot more pressure. And, you know, yes, with technology coming today, it makes you can stretch it out. But how can we close this financial and relationship gaps that's constantly coming up on a consistent basis? Now, a lot of our people that listen to us that are on the station, they come at me and with questions, and they ask me, like, I can't do it. I'm just going to live single. And I say, why you want to just do that? You don't want to be with them? They say, I want to live with somebody. I would like to have that, but every time I get into a relationship, it's, you know, I feel uncomfortable because of money is the issue. You know, this person expects me to do something like this, or they're feeling neglected on some view. But it always comes right back to the money, the finance. The jobs and duties that the person has to take care of, or the expectations of a person. So, you know, I would love to hear what you guys say, but let's make this get to the commercial. We got to be right back in 2 minutes. Please let us, you know, we got to pay the bill somehow. I don't know how.
I know, right?
All right, here we go, 2 and 2. Money, run, money.
Watching too. And here's what happened when they decided to cut. Billy Joe caught up to her the very next day. They got some money, hey, you know they got away. They headed down south and they're still running today. So you go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the money and run.
Warning, radioactive zone detected. Please enter with 20 moves. Take a break and enjoy the show. This is Radio El Duende.
All right. We are back. Yes, we have Lexi Johnson in the house. Listen,
yes.
Trust me, giving it up to her. She's definitely giving up a portion of me, of wisdom. I swear, my head starts tingling. Y'all know when that happens. And my bald head, if somehow I got hair on my head, it's amazing. It's amazing. She making my hair tingle. I don't even have no hair. I don't know. But anyway, we appreciate you coming on. So everybody, please, when you get a chance, go to the link up in the bio of the show. Also, everybody, we are the Powerhouse Squad is on YouTube. So every episode after the fact of the next day, you'll be able to listen to the show live on your station, our station, NSF Radio, right there on YouTube. So we are broadcasting this live on there. So click subscribe if you're hearing it. Just click subscribe today. Also, don't forget to get the app, post your questions, and get out there, let everybody know. Listen, get the NSF Radio app and listen to all your favorite music, all your favorite shows right there for you. And guess what? You know what I'm saying? Get the links going on. Check out what Brother Tone's doing. Yo, he had a great broadcast last time. I detected his. Oh, my goodness. I'm still trying to figure out who that person he had on that show. But that was good. And so, don't forget, Sister Sophia is always out there. She's got her shows coming up live all the time. And she's always giving out great advice to help your relationship be stronger. So, please, listen. Tune in. Get on in the Power Squad so you know me. All right, Brother Alfred, what am I doing? Oh, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm always up there trying to help a person in need. So, this is what, you know what? You need a helping hand. Call and on saying the National Saving Fatherhood Foundation, and we will be glad to help you out. All right, now let's get back into it. All right, Sister Lexi, I was talking about trying to bridge this gap between finance and relationships and trying to find a way to balance these issues that we were currently talking about. Now, do you have any advice for our listeners that going through these struggles that keep bouncing from relationship to relationship because of these issues keep coming up? Is there anything that you can tell them or advise them, you know, and certain things they can change or so they don't feel uncomfortable in those issues?
Yes. So you brought up so many, you know, great points as you were speaking before the break.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Listen.
Oh, okay. You brought up so many great points before the break. And so, you know, again, what I'm going to say to people, number one, make having conversations about money the norm, okay? These are conversations that you should have in your relationships early on, not just before, you know, you decide, oh, we're going to get married or, you know, move to the next level or whatever. These are conversations we need to get used to having money conversations every day, regular, make them regular part. You know, we talk about a lot of stuff that at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. We need to be talking about things that matter, and finances is one of them. And so you were saying that, you know, a lot of times there's this pressure, you know, on men, there's pressure on men because men are raised to be providers, and so there are some men who are out there, they want to be providers, but wherever they are at right now, at this point in time, you know, maybe it's like, I cannot provide in the way I would want to. And for us as women, you know, I think we need to have that, we need to have a level of understanding. You know, you can't go to a man who's making $40,000, $50,000 and expect, you know, a champagne lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? You have to understand, you know, the position that the man is in. And people have to make decisions, you know, based on this or that. And as you were saying, hey, I'm just going to tell you, this is what it is right now. This is my plan to, you know, get ABC or, you know, whatever. We have to be comfortable saying, hey, this is where I'm at right now. This is my plan. Or if it's, this is where I'm at and this is where I want to be and this is where I'm going to be, you know, we have to be comfortable saying that so that people know up front, you know, okay, this is what I'm looking for. This is what it is. So the same with women too. Ladies, if you are definitely looking for a man, because not all women are looking for someone who will pay all of the bills or whatever, but there are women out there who do. If you are looking for a man to do that, again, you can't expect a man making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, if he was $60,000 to be able to do that. Then on top of that, y'all start having children. That $60,000,
$70,000
ain't nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are
right.
You got that right. You know.
Listen. So, again, you know, if this is the person that you want to be with, then we need to talk about these things. And if that is a goal for both of you, because maybe he does want to provide, maybe you would love that, then you come up with a plan. How do we, you know, how are we going to make this happen? And how can I support you so that you can, you know, you can go out there and make that happen? This is what my husband and mm-hmm. I met. You know, he wasn't yet at the place where, you know, he could just provide everything if we were going to be married at that time. Well, that was fine for me because I never was the type of woman who was like, I never really thought out like, hey, I want someone who's just going to pay everything and I can sit on my behind, because listen, I was taught to go work and go, you know, mm-hmm. and go take care of myself. And our family that was work was very important. Very important. So I that was never something that I was looking for. In fact, I had a hard time when my husband got to the place where he could provide for everything. I had a hard time dealing with that because I felt like, no, then I don't feel like I'm bringing whatever I need to be bringing to the table. You know, I need to be bringing something too. You know, I had a very, very hard time, you know, with that. And so then that's why we came up with the agreement. Okay, well, he works. I don't have to work, and I enjoy having the option not to work, but I enjoy what I do. And so that's why we came up with, okay, he takes care of everything that's present, all the bills, all the stuff that we need in the present day. And then my money, a lot of my money, majority of my money, we're going to put it towards, you know, our future, investing, retirement, real estate, whatever. All of these things are creating the legacy that we want to create for our family and for generations to come. So you have to come together and decide. Here's the thing. We set goals for so many other areas in our lives. When it comes to finances, we like deer in headlights. We don't set no goals. And we don't set goals mm-hmm. that come. So when you know that this is a serious relationship we're going to spend our lives in, we need to sit down and set some goals together. What do we believe as a family, you know, about how we're going to use money? What are some goals? Where do we want to – what are the financial goals that this family has? Because then that drives all of the activity, you know, daily, weekly activity that you all do and how you, as far as money is concerned, how you use your money, how you spend your money and all of that. It starts with setting some goals. When you're going to get married, mm-hmm. you're going to get a marriage counselor, when you go see a pastor, sit down with somebody and talk about marriage, like, When you're going to get married, you should also go see a financial advisor before you get married.
Say that again.
I was saying, while we're going to go see the marriage counselor, you need to sit down, you need to go see a financial coach or advisor, and put together a game plan for your finances before you get married. So everybody knows what their role is. You know, we talk about, now I love sports. I know there's a lot of women out there don't really care about sports, but I love sports.
Me too.
Any sports you have, whether it's basketball, football, or whatever, everybody has their position. And they expect you to play in that position. If you don't play that position, it hurts the team, right? Mm-hmm. But everybody knows their position coming in. When they sign that contract, they know what their position is. And they come to play that position. I know what my position is financially in this family.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't do what I'm supposed to do regarding my position in this family financially, I hurt the team. Because it's about the team.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, you know, when you're getting ready to get married, we gotta identify what are the goals, you know, and what is my role in helping us realize these goals.
Mm-hmm.
When y'all settle on that, that's what it is. You know, you might have to make tweaks mm-hmm. along the line, but it doesn't change the overall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little bit. Lexi, I have a question for you. So what about if you are in a relationship, a marriage, or whatever your commitment is, you're there. What do you do when you don't see eye to eye? Like, if you just, you're not in that place where you're, like, not understanding each other, what do you do?
So that's when you have to go back. And, again, I'm going to tell you, you need to sit down with a financial coach or somebody can help you in terms of money mindset, because you need to understand where each other has come from, what has been their relationship with money throughout their
mm-hmm.
life, what has been your relationship with money throughout your life. And
mm-hmm.
you need to not to say that anyone was more right or more wrong or anything like that, but I just need to have an understanding of why you make the decisions you make when it comes to money. Now, once
mm-hmm.
I have an understanding, okay, then we can talk about, you know, well, how do we bridge this? Because you don't have to have the same money profile or money beliefs or money attitudes, if you will, okay? Again, this is where it's important to have, because what we tend to do is we tend to focus on the differences. And why do we do that? Because, once again, we're not setting the goals as a family.
Mm-hmm.
So when you set goals as a family, now you can, you know, look at the person and say, okay, this is where some of these are their, you know, money attitudes, money beliefs, and whatever. Some things may need to change or whatever. But, okay, now what does your role look like so we can get to the goal? Let me tell you something. When I sit down and I talk with couples who don't see eye to eye, after having them sit down and write out, you know, what the family goals are, listen, some people can bring their behaviors right in line, because now they're going after something together, something that they
mm-hmm.
can. And so those behaviors, I'm not saying they totally go away, but it gets better. Why? Because the person begins to think about, oh, you know, if I do this, then it's going to detract from this goal. You know? And when you're part of a team,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to be able to let the team down.
Right.
Wow.
I love it.
We have a question just came in from the app and from the NSF radio forum. Sister Lexi, they want to know what's the best way to save money and to pay your bills on time?
That's an excellent question. So there are a few different things that you can do, first of all, to save money. Now, this is one of my favorite topics, talking about saving money, because a lot of people are like, hey, listen, I live paycheck to paycheck, you know, before the paycheck even hits, like, it's gone. So I don't even have, you know, save what? right? So mm-hmm. you got to approach your money a little bit differently. Right now, you're allowing your money to tell you what to do. You are the slave to your money. And money mm-hmm. is just that's it. It is just a tool. You are the one who is supposed to be in control of the tool. You are the yeah. one who's supposed to tell money what to do, right? And so how do you do that in your finances? You do that by not just enough to just budget, because the budget just merely says, okay, this is, you know, what's going to be paid when, this, that, or the other, or whatever. When you allocate, now you're telling your money what to do before it even gets to you. Okay? So in our household, we know where any income comes in, it doesn't matter how much income comes in, it doesn't matter when it comes in. You know, anytime income comes in, 20% off top, well, 10% off top goes to, and it's actually 20% because we tie to 10 and give another 10. Off top, that's going to the Lord because that's the way we run our house. Another 20% off top is going to our profit account, okay? Profit account means we're investing for our future, right? Whether that's mm-hmm. our Roth IRAs, our SHEP IRAs, buying another property is money towards going to that stuff. 20%. Every time the income comes in, 20% goes to that pot. Off the top, and it's non-negotiable. And your percentages may look different, but that's what it is, off the top, right? Then we know that, okay, another 50% is going to take care of household, you know, bills, because we live very simply, right? We don't even have to have a whole bunch of stuff. My husband and I, we can drive brand new cars if we want to. We can have the brand new of everything if we want, but we don't. We rather not have any payments. So, so you tell your money what to do. And they even make an allocation for going out and having fun because we got to go out and have fun. So for us, we're like 10% of income. Every time it comes in, 10% is going into the fun pot because we like to go out and have some fun. So it's just allocating and making sure it has to become a priority to you. So saving is not about how much you make. It's about how much you can keep of what you make. I don't care if you make $10 an hour. I don't care if you make $1,000 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Priority. Because I have sat down with people who make $10 an hour, and I've sat down with people who make a whole bunch more per hour. And sometimes even people making a whole lot of money are in just as much mess because the priorities aren't right.
Mm-hmm. We got another question just came in from Anonymous. It says, what is the best way to find a partner?
Well, I'm not
this is NSF Forum app, NSF Radio app. So everybody get your download. Everybody post your questions and your answers. Anybody can answer it, but they're directing at the show. So this is created up for the Powerhouse Squad and everybody on the show. So you got a lot of them coming in here right now. But we're only going to have time for a few, so.
Well, I'd love to hear Sophia's answer on that. But for me, again, you know, the good book, my favorite book said, if you're a woman, it says, let the man find you. So, there's that.
I agree with that, Lexi. But I think, too, you do have to put yourself in the place where you want to be. So if whatever your goal is, if this is what you want, you need to put yourself in that place.
Absolutely.
So if you want, kind of about Lexi, how you see me, and it's crazy when you said that earlier. I mean, not crazy, but it's different for me because I'm younger than you. And my dad, of course, was old school, and he paid for everything, and then to hear someone older than me, that was a tradition. Maybe it's something from the South, and that's what they believe, the man provides for everything. But I feel like, yes, I would love a man to pay for all this stuff. Not saying that I won't contribute, but it would be nice for a man to say, hey, relax a little bit. I want that same statement that my dad made to my mom which was, if you don't want to work, you don't have to work. And she put in her 2 weeks' notice the same day. So, but not about that, but I think if you want a wealthy man, then you have to put your plate, you have to position yourself to be in that environment. So, I mean, it's all about what you want. Everybody wants something different. So I can't make a specific statement on that, but wherever you want to be is just where you have to put yourself.
Can I say something about that? Position yourself, Sophia, and I know you agree with it. Position yourself physically or being in the spaces physically where these type of people would be, but also positioning yourself mentally, spiritually,
yeah,
all of those things too, getting yourself in position for the type of person you want.
Yes, I believe that. I love that because I'm big on meditating, having your energies right, you know, because I believe the energy that we put out is the energy that we receive. Because have you noticed that? I remember as a child, now, both of my sides of my family, they were very direct, very straightforward. Actually, my maiden name, my name is Lawson, actually. And so the Lawsons in the town that I'm from, the city that I'm from, we're known for setting the record straight, getting people told. We don't have a problem cussing people out, you know. So I believe that, my mom, she was more quiet. She was very shy, reserved. Like people, when they met her, it's like, oh, she doesn't say too much. But the time that you crossed her is when you had it. So we would go to the store, and my mom would, she would tell these people off the cash register. She had a cash cashier crying. And I was like, Mom, why do you do this? I was so young. I was like 9, 10, but I was so used to it. I'm like, oh, my goodness, we're going to the grocery store. Somebody about to be told off. And so I was like, and then, you know, they get that negative energy. Oh, you're going to pay for this. Oh, we're not honoring your coupon or whatever it was. And so I learned over time, as I got older, I learned that people respond normally and, you know, how you respond. So whatever energy you're putting out there is the energy most likely you're going to receive back. So if you're coming already with a negative mindset or a limiting belief, you're going to get that back. You're not even going to put yourself or, you know, in opportunities or positions where you're able to receive greatness because your thinking is already blocked. So remember that your thoughts lead to your actions. So if you're already thinking negatively, you're not going to think of ways that you can grow positively. You're going to always walk into a situation negatively. So I believe that energy do help. So if you're going with it, like I just released a post the other day about people, what I get a lot is people saying, oh, every guy is the same. No, every guy is not the same. There are good guys. There are no good guys out there. There are great guys. You just have to open yourself up to receive it. So if you don't have the thought that you have about saying, hey, there's no good guys, you're not even in a place to receive a good guy because you're already closed off. So even a good guy can walk in front of your face, but you won't even recognize it because your arms are closed. But the moment that you open and say, hey, opportunity is welcome here, or my mind is open here, I'm ready to receive greatness, then guess what? Greatness will walk through your door. And it would be effortless because you have already set the energy and the tone for it. So that's kind of what I believe. So get your energies right, you know, change your mindset, change what you're thinking. There are great people out here. I know great people, Lexi Johnson, Alfred, Brother Tone, Kofi, all of these people are great. There are great men, great people, great women out here. Get your energies right. Open your arms to receive and welcome it.
Yeah. Now, Brother Tone, I'm asking you that same question, brother, that was posted. So we got to know what you're thinking, brother. Let me know what you think about this.
Repeat the question for me.
All right. What's the best way to find a partner?
It varies. Yeah. It varies, but I mean, for like she was saying, a lot of it is attitude for the most part. And, you know, I was addressing this the other day with somebody. It's just always put yourself first, number one. And once you can assess who you are, as they always say, you know, when they say know thyself.
Yeah.
So once you know who you are realistically, my best advice is to never date down. You know, don't be a person who spends a lot of time, if you're intelligent, or whatever the case may be, saying, well, you know what? I want to be regular. You know, I don't want people to, you know, always look at me in this particular way. And it, because I did it for a long time, I was like, huh, I don't want all of these degreed people, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, I'm just cool. I'm a regular person. But you know what? I caught hell trying to date down and be regular. So, you know, once my friend hit me with that adage again and said, you know, your biggest issue is you waste a lot of time trying to date down, and it puts you in a disposition where you're overcompensating for other people trying to bring them up to your level. And I mean, it's a reality. I mean, people hate to realize that, but I mean, if there was no education system, you know, there was no degrees, if there was no discipline in structure, you know, we would all be the same. But unfortunately, you know, some of us have, you know, aspired to higher levels. So if you are gonna date, like I said, don't date down. Don't be a person who tries to prey on people, you know, when you are dating. Like, oh, you know what, the church is a good place to date. So then you become that serial monogamist going through every man or woman at your, you know, church or you know, and this best advice is don't date on a job. My goodness, because if it happens to break up, you know,
say that again.
You're gonna don't date on the job. But love is often found when you are in the workplace. Like if you really pay attention to actors and actresses, a lot of them hook up after they spent significant time filming a movie together because they've grown closer. And it's not just acting. I mean, I worked in office environment for so long, and that was always the case. I mean, you're spending, you know, upward a minimum of 6 hours, 4 to 6 hours if you're a part-timer with a person on a day-to-day basis. You're getting to know them. You're getting to see them go through their, you know, their growing struggles, ups and downs. So you'll find often that a lot of people, you know, fall into relationships after meeting the person at a place of employment. But just be leery of that. Don't let that be your number one thing, like I said. But, I mean, again, love can be found on Tinder. Love can be found by, you know, meeting a person in the bar, various places, man. But just, I mean, like I said, just be true to yourself, man. Not to be redundant and long-winded, but just be true to yourself and date for where you are at that given time, because it'll help you. It'll help you improve yourself mostly because you have someone who appreciates you for who you are. If you are a person of intellect, you know, you guys can have beautiful conversations about, you know, wealth, prosperity, growth, credit, all these things that we've talked about in this conversation, and most definitely religion for those out there that is a key in love as well. But that's what I found.
Yeah. I just wanted to say thank you for everybody. You know, it's that time again. I'm sorry. Listen, Sister Lexi, anytime you want to come on the show, you can. The door's always open. You know it. Every Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See us on YouTube. Download the app. I want to see you all out there. Appreciate you. See you next week, everybody. This is the Powerhouse Squad. Signing out. We're leaving the building.
You know what, Tommy?
It's the Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad. The Powerhouse Squad.
The Powerhouse Squad.
The Wisdom has left the house.
Tone Robbins.
Live and direct.
Goofy Afore.
Video. I am Hills Goofy Footy.